Father in heaven, again, we thank you for this precious book, for these songs that have been sung here today, and we ask that you give us now the power, the wisdom, the anointing that's needed, again, this night, the first day of this year, to be able to say something that would help us understand ourselves in this evil world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn with me, first of all, to Job. Chapter 38. Job chapter 38. You find yourself having little problems you didn't used to hear, like you can't hear, like you used to hear. Anybody finding your problems with that? And Brother Glenn said, what? I'm amazed. I don't think my hearing is getting bad. I just think people don't talk loud enough. That's what I think is. But it must be getting bad. I heard what it was, two elder ladies getting on a bus at a bus terminal. And they were sitting in a seat across from each other. And one of the ladies said to the one of them, my dear friend said, I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you said. I'm hard of hearing. And the lady said, I won't say anything. I just chewing my chewing gum. You're getting pretty bad, boy. He thinks about chewing gum. They actually can't can't hear them. But anyhow, here in Job chapter 38. Let's look at just for a moment before I read these verses. If you go back with me to chapter 32 and kind of look at rehearsal, you see that Job has had three men who've been trying to evaluate his situation in life. And they considered that he was righteous in his own eyes. They call that self-righteousness. And everything that happened to him considered the fact that he deserved it. And their names, of course, was Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar. But what they didn't know, that they were more sinners in God's sight than Job himself was. But Job certainly had some questions. He refuted the idea that he was like they said he was. On the other hand, he had a question. Why is it that the righteous are afflicted like they are? And by the way, that's a question today that's asked a lot. Why do things happen to me in life? If you're trying to really serve God, God will probably give you more insight of things happen than if you're not really trying to serve God. Because what happens, God shines his light on that which offends us or tries to stop us from serving the Lord. And we realize that we see things more clearly than we did before. An unsaved person may attribute anything that happens just because of consequences or maybe just coincidence it happened. But the child of God reads things more deeper than that. And when you just have the idea, it seems like in the flesh, it's all flesh, you have the idea, if I'm going to serve God, then there's not a lot of things going to really happen to me real bad. And we got a lot of people today that we listen to in the media, as far as those who have access to the media to so-called, quote, preach the Word of God, would tell us that if you are having a lot of things happen to you bad, you're not living right. They're like these three men with the Job. And they are exposed on television a lot of times and in the media in such a way that gets people attention thinking, well, if I live good enough, then things won't happen. And then when they do happen, we can't answer that. So we have a problem trying to analyze why things happen to us in this life. But God gave Job the answer in the last chapter in 42. Before we get there, look in chapter 38. Now, it's a wonderful thing to understand how God does things at times. Job, in his day, didn't have the Word of God like we have today. Job, in his day, though, did understand that God spoke much through the sky. There were things that God did and spoke about. What we'd look at is astronomy today, not astrology. Astrology is a cult. But astronomy is a studying of the stars. And I think you'll find, and I did a great series back a few years ago, if you remember, in the auditorium, on the constellations and what they preach and what they taught at different times of the season every year as they went through their system. And God had written in the sky the historical things about what he was doing. And the amazing thing about it is, when you look at those constellations, no matter what country you look at them, they give them nearly the same type of meaning, but they don't have biblical meanings. And so here Job is considered. We see in first chapter 38 in verse 1, he said, "The Lord answered Job," but he says, "out of the whirlwind," and he said, and he lists the whole things that he said, and too much to get into that tonight, but I want you to look with me in verse 31 and 32. He makes this question, or asks this question to Job, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons?" Now, "canst thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion?" This is, Job, as you look at the stars and understand, I'm sure Job's problem was not, as he looked at it, didn't make him want to look at the stars. He was looking at his problems. But God is saying, you look at these series of stars, and of course, when you think about Pleiades, they were seven stars, we'll talk about that in a few minutes, that cluster in the sky, and they were very bright when they saw them in the season. When you see that, you have no control of that. You can't arrange those stars in any way, form, or fashion. But I can. And as the rotation of the earth comes around and those stars begin to be seen, there'll be certain seasons of the year those stars will be seen. And it'll be that season every year, where one would come at a certain time, according to the calendar of our day. The other would come at another time. And each one of those series of stars, when you see them, brought a certain season in. And then that season would come, and it would bypass, and then the other season would come. Because we know we have four seasons in our makeup of time. Can you tell what they are? Winter, spring, summer, fall. But these two here, when you think about Pleiades and also Orion, speaks of spring and then winter. That's a far extreme of each other. When things are in the springtime, they're alive and well and refreshing. But things are in the wintertime, they're dead, dull. And so God is teaching. Isn't it amazing that God would mention to Job about things that he's put in the stars that could show him what is happening in his life, that he could read things and know, no matter whether it's in the springtime and things are going well, or whether it's in the winter times when things are going bad, God is still in control. Amen. And this is what we see as God refers to Job to look at these stars, and as he reads these stars year after year after year, and ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about 1,500 years ago, plus before Christ came, we're talking about 3,500 years plus ago. And you know what? Those stars are still there today. Wow! It excites me. Now, don't you unsee? I've lost you already. So I'm come to hear something on astronomy. No, you're going to hear something from the Bible that God used when he didn't have his word of God documented like we have today, where they could read something when God told them to, and understand what God was doing. Now, if you look with me in chapter 42, you'll find Job comes up with the analysis of what had happened. And Job answered the Lord in verse 1, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be without withholding from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful me, which I knew not." Isn't it an amazing thing? Job says, "I've talked about some things I didn't know anything about." Have you ever done that? Have you ever complained sometime and even blamed God or complained to God about something we didn't know nothing about? Job said, "That's where I was at." He said, "I come to you, Lord, and I talked about other things I understood not, things that were too wonderful me, yet I did not understand them. I knew not. Here I beseech thee, I will speak, I will demand of thee. Declare thou unto me." Not that he was trying to say to God, "You tell me that." He said, "God, I want to know. I want to know. I want to be able to see. I want to be able to analyze my situations in life with your help from your viewpoint till I can get a grasp on why I have to go through what I..." Hey, ladies and gentlemen, he went through a terrible thing. Chapter 1 tells us, lost everything he had, richest man in the world. Lost everything he's had, even his children. And he says, "I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear now, but now my eyes seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Folks, listen to me. Look at me just a minute. You got to get this. Job was a righteous man. God declared him to be righteous. It isn't because God said, hey, I'm right. No, Job was a righteous man. And what happened here was this. When God really showed himself to Job, even though he had been declared righteous by God, Job found himself, he could see spots in his life that he couldn't see before. And he falls before God and he said, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. If Job had to do it, you and I need to repent once in a while too. I'm talking down seriousness in the rut where we live at in this life. This is Job talking. Hey, the only thing that God said about you and I being righteous is that we're righteous in Jesus Christ. Here, Job was righteous by God's mouth even before Jesus Christ came. And yet when he saw what God wanted him to see, he set himself in a way to see that he needed this, what God offers in repentance. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words, watching to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, and my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the things that is right, as my servant Job hath. He said to them, as they spent no telling how many hours or days with Job, sat there just with him a period of time, didn't say nothing. He said, you not give the right advice. You not give the right information about Job. My wrath is kindled against you. It's not against Job, it's against you. And he said, therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourself a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after my father. He said, you take 7 ram bullocks and you take these offerings down to Job, and you let him make a sacrifice for you, lest my wrath engulf you. This is God speaking. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. God is not like the average man thinks he is. God is so holy that he thrives in holiness, but he also warns. One of the reasons why a lot of people are not getting saved these days probably is because we thrive in what we think we can get from God materialistically in this world, but there's no fear of his wrath. You go back and you find that even the law is to be preached for the in the sense that people may see that they're sinners. The law is perfect and holy and righteous, and to break it, the law is sin. And what's happened today, nobody seems to think they're breaking the law, so there's no sin. So everybody looks at Christ as somehow to get ahead rather than to get saved. And we're living that age today, right now. The bulk of the people who even talk about Jesus Christ look at him not along just as Savior and need to confess sin, but that he is to get them ahead in life and use his name. And we're told if we'll do that, then, you know, name it, claim it, all those things. But here Job sees something different. Therefore, take away now the 7 bullocks, he said unto them, and for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken to me the things which is right, like my servant Job. And he says, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shunhite, and Zophar the Netophite, he said, went and did accordingly as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. I want to speak just a few minutes on the seasons of life. Seasons of life. And go back with me. We're going to be looking at chapter 38 in Job for just a few minutes. For me to understand this verse 33, 31, and 32, you have to understand Job's condition. I thought, Job has lost everything here. His service, his livestock, his home, his glory to his wife, 10 children. Now, it's sad when I have a funeral with just one child. But ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine Job had 10 caskets in just one split moment? He had to bury 10 of his children. Why? Because he was a roughneck? No. Because he loved God. And God saw in him something could be tested, even not allowed a demon, but Satan himself, to test Job. And he stood that test. The richest man, the best man that was in the East. Not too long ago, a few years ago, if you remember, there's a fellow by the name of Dr. Lee. He was a television evangelist, and he lost a small house. I don't know what state it was in, but I remember the situation. He lost a small house, and he went on television telling everybody in the fire he lost everything that he had. And the news media just eat that thing up. But they did some investigation. Now, I don't know what the house was worth, but it was a small house, they said, worth, you know, in those days, I don't know, maybe $100,000 or so. But he lost everything he had. And they began to investigate, and they found out he had hid away in another state a $5 million estate. Now, maybe he didn't lie because he did lose everything in that house. But losing everything in a house by itself don't tell the truth if you say you lose everything you had. But Job lost everything he had. Job tells us the truth. God documents that truth, that he lost everything that he had. Calamity after calamity took everything that he had, animals, his health, 10 children, his estate, his wife, loyalty. The Lord comes and says to Job, Job, can you bind the sweetest influence of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Can thou bring forth Masoreth in the feast season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be honest with you. I do not believe that Job cared anything about Pleiades or Orion in his condition. Do you? You say, well, now, if God... Listen, don't think that you and I know so much. I'm not so sure when I'm hurting real bad if God come to me and say, hey, son, have you ever looked at those stars? What could those stars got to do about my condition? By the way, that's the way we are. You say, well, I want to, but there's a lot of things God tells us to do or not do, and we make excuses for not doing it. So here, I wouldn't think that Job would be interested with stars. What are they going to do about my situation? I've seen those stars every year of my life. But God said, "What have you considered these? How they arrange? Masoreth in his season and Arcturus, some people think that is the big and little different. I don't know, called the great little bear. I don't know. But I do know they're there, and God arranged them ever how they were at that particular time. I realize that when Joe heard God speaking, he was concerned. I know I would not have cared about stars when I'm hurting. But God is teaching a spiritual truth. And so he got hold of Job. And you notice 2 chapters later, he convinced Job. It's interesting to read the dialogue between Job and God. Job was hard time to convince that what had happened to him, this was a terrible situation. It'd be kind of hard for us if we lost everything we had, especially if he was wealthy as Job was. Every cattle, every horse, everything he had, his children, his family, his houses, everything, his servants, everything. It'd be kind of hard to convince all of a sudden that this happened because of the stars. But here, he does it for a reason. God is teaching Job a spiritual truth. Now, I'm not into Greek mythology, but since I understand these are explained more than God did, because in Greek mythology, they go into detail about what these stars are, but this is man-made thinking. God just says, have you considered them? They come about the same time every year. Pleiades, I think, is the springtime. Orion is the wintertime. And you're going to have seasons in your life. You're going to have some times it's tough. You're going to have some times that it's fairly easy. But keep in mind, when it's easy, don't get so settled down that you don't think it's going to be tough again, because it's going to get tough. And when it gets tough, don't get so worried that it's not going to be easy again, because the seasons come. I'm in control of them. Whether it be with the seasons as far as the world is concerned, or as far as the seasons as in your life is concerned. Now, what does this say? Let me give you some Greek mythology. This is not Bible, just Greek mythology. The story of Pleiades, according to Greek mythology, is a group of stars in the sky that represent 7 daughters of Atlas. This is what they see. This is not what God sees or what God did them for, but this is what Greek mythology through the years has brought about for us as human beings to read, as they tell us, bless their heart, about the stars. And then an amazing thing, God names them here, and they use the same name. Here, please, the group of stars in the sky that represent seven daughters of Atlas. The great giant Orion pursues Atlas' daughters. They went to the god Zeus and asked for his protection. The god Zeus changed them into a group of stars. Now they were no longer daughters of Atlas. They were just seven stars in the constellation of the sky. That's how they tell these about Pleiades. When the city of Troy was being destroyed, one of the daughters, now stars, was given a leave of absence to leave the constellation. She was never heard of again. Now only six stars are left in the sky. Since Troy was destroyed, these six stars show the humiliation by not shining as bright as they were at one time. Since this daughter had left and they couldn't find her, now the other six stars shine less because they're in a humiliation for those stars. The story of Orion is mythology. He was a giant, the son of Neptune, a mighty hunter. He saw a beautiful girl one day while hunting named Diana. He began to chase her. Diana's brother was Apollo, decided to try and stop Orion from chasing his sister. One day, while by the seaside, he saw Orion swimming or wading in some water down the sea. Diana didn't know who it was, and so Apollo told Diana that she could not hit a speck in the water. And she said she could, so she takes an arrow and shoots it and hits Orion in the head and kills him. And when she realized what she had done, she felt she was in love with him and wept. Hey, don't cry. This is not how the world turns. This is mythology. We hear these stories and we get caught up in it. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen? Say, why do you tell us that? Because how foolish it is. And yet at the same time, you can make a good ABC story out of that, amen? What they put on nowadays and so forth, hear telling, see them advertised everywhere in papers and everything else. In this era, this is not a true story. It is mythology. Diana transformed Orion into a star and placed him in the heavens. And since then, he has been chasing the six sister Pleiades. Aren't you glad you came? I'm going to hush. Aren't you glad you came? What I want you to know now, is this what God is telling Job in the Bible? Absolutely not. God is telling Job something different. Pleiades is a small cluster of stars that are seen better in the springtime. They shine the brightest at this time. It's a sign that spring is coming. When you see these stars on the horizon in the hemisphere that, where they can see them the best on the horizon, it says spring is coming. And it comes over and spring comes. And as they move over in the constellation, in the route that they travel, it says spring is leaving. When Orion rises, it says winter is coming. Winter is here. Winter is leaving. Year after year after year after year. Over 6,000 years have passed and it's still working. This is what Job has been taught 3,500 plus years ago. He had no Bible, but he could read the stars. And God used these stars at that particular time. Orion is a constellation that follows autumn and announces the coming of winter. What is God saying to Job? Let me give you a quick few things. Number one, God is saying, Job, you have to take the bad with the good. It don't become because God said it's going to come. It comes because God said it's going to come because of sin. Sin is still in this world. Sin is the problem of everything that happens that's bad in this world. Spring and summer and autumn and winter will come, and there is nothing that you can do about it, Job. They will come. Job had been in the springtime of his life with all the blessings of God flowing his way. He was rich. He was healthy. He had a loyal wife. He had 10 precious children. They were up age, grown servants. They had servants. They had everything that they were waited on hand and foot. Job had been in the springtime of his life. Now the deadened season of autumn had come. The chills of winter came. All is gone. The children are dead. Wife has forsaken him. And Job is complaining about his wintertime condition as God is evaluating him in this situation. And God has said, Job, you can take it, son. Life is not springtime all the time. Winter or some tough days will come. Can you capture Pleiades springtime and keep it all the time? They're there. Hadn't you ever heard this in the summertime? Boy, I wish I could have a little bit of this hot weather and keep it over in the wintertime. You ever thought about that? Wouldn't it be nice if you could capture some of that stuff and harness it and use it instead of having to buy gas, oil, or electricity for heat? Any one of you hadn't thought of that. Or if you hadn't thought of it, you said it just because it's a good conversation piece. So, well, sure, it's cold today. Yeah. I wouldn't mind having a little bit of that in the summer. Not a whole lot, but a little bit in the summertime when it gets to those 100, above 100 degrees. And God is talking to Job this way. Winter or some tough days will come. You're going to have some winter days. Also, can you stop Orion from coming? The darkness does come. Summertime does not last an entire year. Winter doesn't last an entire year when things are tough. Don't steal from God or leave Him out in winter when things get tough. When things are alive and fresh, it's easy to do. Things are going well. It's easy. But when the tough time comes, don't leave God out. Job, I'm just as much your God in your valley with your trouble as I was in your blessings. And Job had to learn this, folks. Listen, Job is like you and I. He's in flesh. You don't tell me. I don't care how good a Christian you are. If you lose everything you have, your home, your house, your wife, your children, don't tell me it won't upset you. It would me. And I admit it. But I'm glad enough to know there's a child of God. God has a ways of doing like He did Job. He can come back and say, son, you remember this? Because I'm going to be in the book. And he said, you remember this? You mean when I read about you? This? Let me. And next thing you know, you'll be reading things that God will be focusing your mind and off the problem on Him. And I want to tell you, folks, you and I can stand anything when our eyes are focused on Him. And here, he's telling Job, as he looks at these stars, a tremendous truth about what's going on. You can't stop Orion from coming. Flowers bloom in the springtime. They're going to wilt in the fall, though. Grass is green in the springtime, but it's brown in the fall and the winter. Yes, enjoy the springtime. Enjoy it when it comes. But know that fall and winter is coming. Don't steal from God or leave Him out. Job, you have to take the bad with the good. Now, what has he said to me there? As I chart my course in life and I'm walking with God, there's sometimes I'm as happy as go lucky can be. My wife was laughing and joking and the best time. And then there's times our hearts are broken that we find ourselves in the valley, going through something we didn't know had to go through. It could be sick, almost death a couple of times, just a lot of things. And what he wants us to understand that when I'm feeling good, it's easy. Lord, I'm so grateful. Bless you. I just continue to give to Him. But when it gets into wintertime, I'm so much focused on the problem and so afraid. A lot of times people quit doing things that they were doing because of the season. Number two, we must face all seasons of life. Young people, you sit in the springtime of your life right now. Oh, you have problems, but you've not got no problem like you're going to have. Believe me. You know, I wished the only problem I did have, and I say this because I love my wife, but I wished the only problem I did have was just a boyfriend or girlfriend when I was 16 years old. Amen? You won't admit that, but I will. That's a minor problem. I know it's serious to a teenager, but it's minor compared to what you have when you get married and get in life where the rubber hits the road. It's really It's really, you got to, two got to be one, and two got to be together. If not, you won't be happy, and you won't have what God wants you to have as far as a home is concerned. Nothing is seriously wrong now. You have few problems. Again, it may be a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or something else. You have never spent much time beside a casket in a funeral home. If had, it's probably just a fact of foreign situation. You don't know what it is to see loved ones be taken quickly. You don't know the undertaker's name. Listen, it will not always be springtime. Also, may I remind you who are in the wintertime of your life. Spring is coming. That's what God is telling Job. He's in the wintertime now. Oh, he's in the springtime a good while. But he said, hey, he's in the wintertime now. And he says, hey, just keep in mind, when you're in the springtime, winter's coming. But keep in mind also, if you get in the winter of your life season, there is coming a springtime. Hey, Lisa, I don't know. Some of you, I know some of you, I don't know how many of you have been somewhere or another when you were at Orion at wintertime of your life, when you had a serious situation you had to deal with, doctors, and you had to be operated on, you had to be put in someone's hand and put in anesthesia and things like that. And it was just a time that you just felt like you could not get through it. Or maybe you're diagnosed with cancer and you're just down, beaten, everything just seemed to be beaten down. And then you go through a few months of tests and trials and you get over here on the other side, I call the resurrected side, and suddenly you begin to feel the springtime again. You begin to give God. Isn't God wonderful? Yes. I may not be cured, but I feel better than I felt in 6 months. You hear people say, that's what God is talking about. That's our season as we go through this particular life. It will not always be springtime, but we can keep in mind that when you're in the winter time of Orion represents, springtime is coming. Since I pastor this church, we have been through Pleiades and Orion together. Many of you have been there. I've seen your children born, and I helped you bury them. I've seen the rejoicing of a little one coming into this world and seeing the miraculous thing of birth that God in procreation allows a man and a woman to produce a child that will never be anyone else like that in the history of humanity. And yet I've seen also the child be buried within a few days after birth, or a few years after birth, or 12 or 13 years old after birth. When they were born, it was springtime. But when you lay that little body into a grave, it's wintertime. You may have lost a mate. There's many times you had the blessing of springtime, and now you're sitting alone by yourself at night because God has allowed death to take a mate and you're in a winter time. But you know what happens? It amazes somehow or another that God fills the vacancy to after a while you begin to get that gleam back. What blesses my heart to see people who live loved ones and they're down and we pray with them and we weep with them and then a month or two, a year, especially within a year or two, they get a little gleam back. They get feeling a little better. Oh, they still miss their mate. But springtime has begun to come into heart again. That's what Job is talking. God is telling Job here. We've seen victories. We've seen defeats. We've stood at weddings at the altar. Then in a few months later, stood at the cemetery together. Springtime came fast, but winter came fast too in a case like that. I've learned not to get too comfortable in the springtime, for autumn and winter are coming. This doesn't mean I can't enjoy the springtime. And when I look in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I like that chapter because it tells me things. Down verse 12, 13, 14, he says, I know that there is no good thing in way for men, but he said, for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. I know that there's no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and do good in life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. It is a gift of God, the food and the drink of his labor. It's a gift of God. And he also says, I know that whatsoever God doeth it forever. It shall be forever. Nothing, verse 14, can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that man should fear or worship before him. I love that. Someone said, well, I'd enjoy everything. Yes, sir, God said it. It's there, but that goes back. Fits back into when I said this morning, God needs to be first. And he said, then you find God doeth it. Why? That man should fear or worship him. That is, worship God. We all have these four seasons. We have to face them. There will be days of loneliness and heartbreak and sorrow and suffering and days when the cold chills make you wonder if the days of Pleiades will ever come again. But you check the sky, Job. Orion is still chasing those six daughters in mythology. You want to call it that, whatever it is, and the eyes of mythology. Orion is there. He will come, but Pleiades will come also until God settles all things. Job, you can learn to take it all, son. There's nothing, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, that can take you that's not common to man. You find God gives that to the church at Corinth. But it was much so for Job, even though he may not have had to claim it. There's no temptation taking you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. It is easy to take things when they are good, going well. Job, when winter hits hard, though, remember, son, I'm in control. Summer will come. Spring and summer did come. Job was restored. He got twice as much back as he had before. According to Job 42, verse 10, he and his wife had 10 more children. I thought about that. Bless that dear lady's heart. She was pregnant 90 months with the first 10. And she was pregnant 90 more months with the second 10. Ladies, that's 5 years of pregnancy. She had to be a great woman, didn't she? It's almost like 19 and counting when you think about it. Isn't it amazing? You know what? I wonder, though the blessing came for the children, I wonder that since God said that childbearing is the curse that comes to men, I wonder that because of her unfaithfulness and what she said to her husband, I wonder if by chance if she didn't suffer a lot of pain in childbearing. You say, you speculate. That's all right. You can't disprove it. I know this, ladies, it is tough to bear a childhood. Let me say it again. I'll get some amens. I love them amens. Well, I tell you, sets me on fire when I see those things. You can take it, Job. You can take it. So, Jay, take Job. You can take the bad with good. You can face all the seasons. But what about Job's kids? And I'll close with this thought quickly. I got just a couple minutes. Job did not have 20 more kids, but he had double kids. That's what the Bible says. He had double kids. Twice, everything was double. When an animal dies, that's it. Sheep, cows, horse, and so forth. But when a human being dies, he lives on. Now, God doubled his animals. He doubled everything he had. But he only had 10 more kids here on this earth. Isn't it wonderful how God writes things for us to see in between? Well, you say, preacher, you know, he got 10 more. He doubled the horses. He doubled everything else, yeah. But he didn't double his children. Oh, yes, he did. He gave them 10 more. See, they're your children, whether they're in heaven or here. Whether they're in the earth or in heaven. You get to heaven, and your children are saved. If they die before in prematurity, before they get to age accountability, when you get to heaven, every one of your children, if they're saved or if they die before the age accountability, you're going to be in heaven. So he did do what he said he'd do. Job did have 20 kids, 10 on earth, 10 in heaven, on place or place of departed spirits, as it would call it in that day. Prepare yourself. Job, put on your spiritual coat. Orion has never come without Pleiades being around the corner. And one day there will be only the Pleiades. One day there's nothing going to be but springtime. Boy, I believe that. And when we get that in your glorified body, we're going to see that. We'll never grow old. Our shoulders won't stoop. There'll be no wrinkles in our face. There'll be no more farewells. There'll be no more lying, cheating. Remember, whether you're in the Pleiades, sun shining, or Orion's blast of cold, chilly winter, God says, and I believe the same thing he told Paul about the thorn in the flesh, my grace is sufficient for you. When I'm in the darkest hour, God's grace is sufficient. When I'm in the best hour, I know God's grace is sufficient. And here, he's teaching Job these wonderful truths. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Job did not have the Spirit of God dwelling in him like you and I have in the age of grace. But he did have God's word written in the sky. And God referred it to him and gave him that which no one else could see except Job, who was God's child. Life is rough here at times. Times are tough here at times. But if you and I have a reservation in Jesus Christ to go to heaven when we die, we have a reason to rejoice in the darkest hour. In the darkest hour. And I thank God for that. So if you can think in the future, when we go through, and we will go through, my wife and I, we did what we did. I was telling Brother Ken this morning, Saturday night at the watch night, we stayed home, and a little before 12, we began to read the scriptures. We read about five chapters in scripture, and then we had prayer together. And I said, I thank the Lord. We did exactly what we did 44 years ago when we came here and started this church on New Year's Eve night. What a joy. That's springtime for us. But I'll tell you this. Whether the darkness come or the chilly winters of Orion or winter, God himself has given us a hope in Jesus Christ that the world doesn't have. And there's nothing any better than heaven. Even though I look through a dark glass now and only see a little bit about it, but I see enough to know, boy, what a place. I may fear and tremble. I may go into a tailspin when the darkest hour comes to my life, and you may do too. But we have a God who's going to be there to help us because he tells us he's in control. Job, when Pleiades comes by and you had the best of your life, I'm in control. But when she goes off the scene, the other season comes and Orion comes on the horizon, I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care how bad it gets. I want you to know I'm still in control. My Father, I thank you again for this wonderful study, Lord. I thank you again. And Job in his day, what an amazing thing that he didn't have the Word of God like we have today. And yet God had written in the sky some things about stars. Lord, we looked at the constellations. It amazes me, the 12 that's there, how it tells the story of coming of Christ. I believe Adam and Eve and the boys had the great privilege to sit at night. They didn't have anything else to do at night. Sit at night and watch the heavens. And they saw many things that consistently show God is running things. And we have that assurance in our own heart. Lord, we don't know what's laying before us. Some of us here right now, before the year's out, or within a few days, could be already in eternity. We're all just a heartbeat away. But we know this, whether in the springtime that Pleiades represents, or whether we're in the wintertime that Orion represents, God is still God, and you're our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus, for making it possible for us to be called children of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.